Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to thank all the speakers for their interventions and you for the initiative organizing this panel. At the outset, let me acknowledge also the moderator, Eric Thies-Dunet's outstanding contributions to the development of this council, including facilitating civil society access to this important UN body. The Geneva Human Rights Platform was created at the Geneva Academy to support the functioning of the Geneva-based human rights mechanism. The Academy itself was created along with the Human Rights Council 15 years ago. Looking back at this time, first, let me congratulate the Human Rights Council for its innovation power. Thoroughly based in GA Resolution 6251 and the institution building package of HRC Resolution 51, the Council has never ceased to develop or even to reinvent itself. The numerous commissions of inquiry are such an example, as is the capacity of the Council to treat issues blocked by veto in the Security Council as lately on the situation in Ukraine stemming from the Russian aggression. It is to be hoped that the Human Rights Council will react in similarly strong ways to other current or future conflicts. In the same vein, I would like to encourage the Council to apply the same standards to all its members and candidates for Human Rights Council membership to ensure upholding high standards for membership and to hold members accountable to their pledges. While it is important that all states are observers to this body and that it always remains a place for dialogue, membership criteria should be enforced. In this regard, what would the panelists suggest to ensure coherent application of the criteria in elections and the evaluation of Human Rights Council members? Secondly, focusing on the UPR and encouraged by the statements of Mona Ambikai and other panelists, I would like to ask if the panelists could elaborate more on how the UPR's unbroken track record and attractiveness could be best maintained and strengthened during the fourth cycle. For example, could the inclusion of a new group of stakeholders, I think in particular of cities and local government, bring the UPR even closer to the realities of people and bring those perspectives from the local level into the Geneva debate? Third and last, let me turn to the topic of universality and the standard setting by the Human Rights Council. The recent global recognition of the right to environment was yet another example of the HRC's vision and importance. While the HRC's focus is undeniably on implementation, norm setting does not stop. Yet, while the Human Rights Council and more particularly the UPR have made a great step forward in terms of institutional universality in the human rights system, the universality, interdependence, and indivisibility of rights substantively, on the other hand, remains to be challenged by relativism and exceptionalism. In a forthcoming publication, we make recommendations to address this issue. What would be the panelists' view? How could the notion of equal human dignity serve as the basis for a revisited, strengthened narrative of human rights universality? Thank you very much for your attention.